Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. NFL offseason continues to provide us with all kinds of things to discuss. The Steelers have a quarterback. Are they really going to talk themselves into Mitch Trubisky? I've already had one Steeler fan doing it. Really?
Really.
Now, here's the thing. You can make a pretty good argument if you are a Steeler fan. And here's how. You can go back and show how the Bears were with him mm-hmm. versus the Bears without him.
I've heard this argument.
Yes, it's a compelling one. There's no doubt about it. Who will make the move for Deshaun Watson? The Panthers have been in the news. The Browns all of a sudden are creeping in. A bunch of different teams probably trying to position themselves for that. Who will make that move? And will the quarterback market ever correct itself? Aaron Rodgers' deal, $150 million over 3 years, which is essentially just a two-year extension for $124 million. 62 per. So how in the world? I mean, you're already seeing, and oh, by the way, the next story down is they had to release the linebacker. So how do these teams continue to be made, or will we see a correction to maybe what the Steelers are doing right here? With, you know what, if the rest of our team is so awesome, can we win without a great quarterback? Doesn't seem like that's been the recipe lately. You know what I mean? You've had to have one of those guys. Like Nick Foles is probably the only guy that wasn't one of those great players to win the Super Bowl over the last, whatever, decade or what and whatnot. So that is the question. Will these teams that are signing these and feeling like they have to price themselves out of the market for so many guys that then it's just the quarterback and will they be more selective with how many guys get paid? It's hard to see it slowing down right now because Kirk Cousins just got $35 million. What?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is going to make $300 million for his career. Kirk Cousins. Are you kidding me?
Isn't that to create, it's like a restructuring deal so they can create some cap space?
Yeah, but whatever. The guy's going to make $300 million for his Kirk Cousins.
It was cheaper to keep him than ditch him.
Probably. I mean, it just, but you have to make a mistake to get yourself into that situation in the first place by paying him too much. At some point, you paid him too much. And now you're going to have to pay him more because you paid him too much to just let him go. It's a wild deal. And there's just way too many dudes. But that's just the money. And it's only going to go up, you know, good and well, when the new TV deal gets made coming up here in, what, a couple years? It's just going to go higher. The cap is just – and so, you know, it's pretty funny when you look at the outrage over – contracts, and Drew made this point to us on a text. After this cycle of quarterbacks, Dak Prescott going to look like a pretty good deal. Considering what everybody else is going to get paid.
Recently, he just restructured his,
that's right,
his deal help out the franchise. So yeah,
you can kick the can down the road all you want, but eventually that bill is going to come due. The Rams are going to find that out when this run is over. They're going to be totally decimated because they gave up everything. And they're going to owe, you know, it's just,
I'm afraid the Chiefs are already seeing it.
The Chiefs are starting. Anybody that's paid their quarterback, you know, the Seahawks have fell apart because their rookie quarterback was awesome and won a Super Bowl, played for another one, and then they had to pay him. Now they don't even have that team. Their team is done. It's like the anti-dynasty. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, the one team that was a dynasty did it different. You know why? Because their quarterback wasn't selfish. to me, that's the enduring legacy of Tom Brady. Is he took team-friendly deals over and over and over in New England to try to assure as many guys could stay. He's the only one that seems willing to do that. So we'll talk NFL. NCAA tournament, we kind of hit it a little bit yesterday, but dig into it a lot deeper today. What's your favorite first-round matchup? What's some games you might want to see before the Final Four? So inside a regional, what's a game down in the Sweet 16 or the second round or whatever it is that you really want to see a couple of teams match up? How many Big 12 teams will make the Sweet 16? Who you got in the Final Four? Who's your champ? And, oh, by the way, Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, ESPN's website. I've got a Facebook post that is pinned to the top of our Skinny on Sports page that will take you right there to our group, Skinny on Sports 2022. Get signed up. You've got 2 days before everything's locked in on that on Thursday for the first round. So get involved. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, ESPN's website. Skinny on Sports 2022 is the group. People before property is the motto, same as it is down at Western Oklahoma Realty.
Those lock Thursday, right?
Before Thursday. The first game? They lock so Thursday.
You still got time.
I think you can change your picks for Friday.
Yeah, I think anything's open until the first game's played,
tips off.
Right. Now, if a game starts, obviously you can't switch
it. That's right. That's right. But if you have a last-minute choice of...
These are first-round games only. You can't...
Yeah, then after that, you're done. Yeah. You're done changing. I guess... I don't know if that's true. I guess if teams keep winning and you want to change your final, you probably can if they're both in.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't either.
That seems kind of sketchy.
Well, if you had Gonzaga play in Arizona and both of them were in, and you get to a game where you have both teams still playing,
right,
and you want to change who wins that, you don't think you
can
do that?
Oh, you mean who wins?
If you want to change.
The outcome of the winner.
Yeah. If you have a Sweet 16 game, both teams make it, and then you decide, you know what, I like the way that team's playing better.
Totally change the participant.
No.
Okay.
No. But gotcha. The problem is, I think you probably have to completely... You probably can't do that because of what's going on around it.
I don't think so. I think it's all locked in.
Yeah, as soon as the tournament starts, I think it may lock in.
Yeah.
So that means I'm going to have to really decide in the next couple of days who I think is going to win this thing.
Well, I should have done what I did.
I'm down to two.
Down to two?
I'm down to two.
Two potential winners. I bet you I can guess them.
And if either one of them wins, it's going to be the first time something that it's happened in a long, long time. Since 1997.
You and your history lessons, man.
A team west of the Rockies win the national title.
Oh, okay. That'd be a walk, man.
Arizona, 97.
Yeah, you'd think there'd been a team since then. There hasn't.
Don't think so. UCLA was 1995. Arizona's 97. Gonzaga never won it.
Wow.
It gets all the way back to then.
Good. That's a good trivia question. You think people would jump all over different teams between then and now?
I can't wait to jump all over one of your teams with some.
Here we go.
I can't wait to.
Here we go.
With some. I just want to inform you of something.
Oh, please.
That you may not be aware of with one of your, I think, Final Four teams.
Yeah,
if I remember
really?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to me when the Final Four gets
might want
to
pay attention to who coaches him
and how good he is not in the tournament. Cam Smith came back, wins the Players' Championship yesterday.
Best-looking golfer, I got by my dad.
No.
Well, that is the best. That is the most. That's the boldest look I've seen in a golfer in quite some time. With the mustache and the... Is it a mullet? Is it officially a mullet?
It's not just long hair
pulled behind the ears.
That's not a good look.
Full-grown mullet.
Not a good look. He wins the Players. It was an awesome round yesterday. It was a lot of fun. He made it more fun than it probably should have been.
Hey, Aaron, newsflash. Get ready for a lot of mullets on the golf course now.
Sweet mustaches. That Van Rooyen dude, did you see him? South African, Eric Van Rooyen.
I'd have to Google
that mustache up. Holy Moses. Tom Selleck's jealous.
Oh.
Anyhow, we'll hit that.
He must carry a comb in his bag. It
looks like it's definitely coiffed. There's no doubt about that. Cam Smith, talk about his performance yesterday. Also, you know, the Masters right around the corner. And some of those guys, some guys really, really playing well that you want to see. I'm going to break some hearts when we talk about the Masters. Because there's one guy that a lot of people in this neck of the woods want to see win that thing. And he doesn't have much of a chance. And I'll tell you why. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log into KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has all things Paragon. It's got the three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. We've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast that is available on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back and check out what we had to say about certain topics.
Eventually, if I'm in town. Yesterday, I had to put three up at a time.
I know the Thursday one got listened to. I had had some text messages about Coach Rich not quite remembering the story from Waco just right. And I couldn't either. I really couldn't either. I knew something that was involved, but I couldn't remember exactly how that went. So listen, you never let the facts get in the way of a good story, right?
I'm a news guy, man.
Anyhow, so I know one of them got listened to beyond the shadow of a doubt. So yesterday, the players, man, they had a rough weather week between the rain on Thursday, Friday. You know, there was guys yesterday that were just, or on Saturday just now, or I'm sorry, Sunday, that were teeing off just for their second rounds. The guys that went out early on Thursday, but they got it completed, and it was a really intriguing day on a lot of different levels. There was some guys you never really heard of at the top. There were some guys that had been around, you know, a Paul Casey that's been a really, really good player, but has just never been able to get it done at either the Players or in any of the majors. Then there was guys, you know, like Cam Smith that are up and coming, or probably arrived type guys, but just haven't won the big, big tournament yet. And, man, he started out, it looked like a runaway. Smith birdied five of the first six, had a two-shot lead at one point on the front nine, then made three straight bogeys. And you thought, uh-oh, Pete Dye's got him and sucked him back in. And it was a tie ball game as he played the 10th, and he hit it to about a foot. He makes four straight birdies from 10 to 13, reestablishes the two-shot lead. Actually, it was a three-shot lead as he hit his tee shot on number 18. Then he punches it in the water behind him. Lahiri birdies 17 to get back within two, and then he hits that awesome pitch from 57 yards that he almost spun back in the hole, gets it up and down for a bogey, forcing Lahiri to make birdie to have a playoff, and he just couldn't do it. He didn't hit a very good second shot from the middle of the fairway after he just piped a drive. And I think that's watching the coverage on ESPN Plus as opposed to the Golf Channel for a lot of the day like I did, you got a little bit more insight into – you could hear them better. The audio was right there with them.
Oh, yeah.
And you could hear Lahiri a couple different times saying, quit thinking. Like, quit overthinking it. Just hit – you know. And I think, you know, like on the
– Sounds like me.
It really sounds
what
like
I have to tell myself.
Sounds like a lot of us,
yeah,
right?
It's like – jeez, get out of your own head, man.
And so I think even on that shot on 18, he sees Doug Gim go right before him, and Gim hits this kind of rope hook that lands on the far right side of the green, but the way the contour of it and the spin, it brought it right down by the hole. But that's not necessarily a shot that he was comfortable hitting. It felt like every time he was trying to move it right to left with iron shots, he left it out to the right, and sure enough, he did on that line. Instead of just, you know, hitting it at the hole, and if it falls to the right 10 feet, try to make that putt. He was trying to do something a little bit out of his element and didn't get it done. So, but Smith is a guy that, well, you know, if you go back to yesterday when we were discussing it with Jim, one of the two of us said Cam Smith was going to pull it out.
Who's that?
It was me. Now, you get lucky every now and then because, you know, a golf tournament's that way. But he just, with his performance at the Tournament of Champions, setting a record at 34 under par for four rounds, he's a guy that when he gets it going, you know, the sky is the limit. And that putting, the putting week, he had only 101 putts through four rounds. That's the lowest ever by a Players Champion. You know, you're talking 25 three times and 26 once. That is unbelievable putting. What do you, he one putted eight of the nine greens on the back nine.
Wow.
Just an incredible putting performance. And it's a guy that has been on the cusp of this for a while. You know, a big time breakthrough win, and Cam Smith got it yesterday.
The turning point for me, for Cam Smith, and probably the turning point for him to win this thing, and probably for his career, where he could always look back, is going forward on 17. Am I right? When he was, where that pin placement was, that was risky, and where he placed that. He just had this look of confidence afterwards. It wasn't like a look of relief or wow, what did I just do? Look, he's like, yep, that's exactly where I was going for. You have to do that. You have to go for it. You know, in all kinds of sports, you got to take the shot. You got to make that throw. And in this case, you got to go for risky shots like that. That keep an eye on that. That might be something he's going to refer to in years from now.
Yeah, they ask him about that.
What do you say?
I'd be lying if I said I was aiming there.
Well, you got
pushed it tight is what happened.
But he could have been conservative, but you know, maybe he was being conservative. But
yeah, I think he missed it about 25 feet.
If I was him, I would have lied. Yeah. I would have said, yeah, I was totally going for that shot. But you hear about that where you can't lay up. You got to make those shots. You got to go for it. It's the common theme here. And again, I think that's something that was the turning point for him yesterday, and I think it's something that you're going to hear about, you know, if he wins another and another and another, they're always going to go back. Man, that's the turning point of his career right there, was at the Players in 2022, that shot at 17.
It was that, but it was even the hole before that, I think, was kind of one of the difference makers, because he had just a horrible rope hook off the tee, had a gap to get it back to the fairway, did. In the meantime, Paul Casey has absolutely put one right down the pipe. And in one of the worst breaks of all time, rolls into somebody else's pitch mark where he had no shot. I mean, he had to just he literally just punched it down the fairway. He had, instead of Smith was 243 after he punched out. And that was, to me, that was the shot that was even more impressive than 17. 243 hitting your third with your, I don't know if he knew that Casey had that horrible lie up there. Or not, but he hits that one right to the middle of the green after punching out on 16. That was an unbelievably good shot to get that one on the green and be able to just have a two-putt for par instead of trying to get up and down, or a lot of guys were hitting in the water, the ones that were really going for it on 16. And so to pull that one off, then hit the shot on 17 you're talking about, and then the pitch on 18. You know, there was a point there where it was like after he birdied 17, you're thinking, okay, this is over. Then he punches it in the water on 18 as Lahiri birdies 17. And all of a sudden, Lahiri just puts it right down the pipe on 18. And you're like, wait a minute. If he doesn't get this up and down and Lahiri hits it in there tight, he's going to lose. You know, like, it was like, whoa, what just happened? And he hit it from 57 yards and just a perfect shot. That danced around the hole and ended up 3 feet. And, of course, he made it because he made every single putt that he looked out on the back nine, literally, almost literally. It was a great performance. And you're right. I mean, I think this tournament is going to be that one that you're talking about. Like, okay, this was the springboard into Cam Smith winning a major or two. I mean, I'm not going to go out on big giant limbs that he's going to, you know, win five or six. But I think this puts him in a great spot for what's coming up here in about a month, and that's the Masters. He already was the first guy ever to shoot four rounds in the 60s around Augusta National. Now, he did it in November, the COVID year, so it's not like the conditions were the same as what they'll see in April. But having said that, to be the only guy to do something in the history of golf at Augusta National, that's pretty damn impressive. You know he can play that golf course. The putting, the short game, he's got it. The one club that probably would be a little bit of a worry is the driver. I mean, that seemed to be the thing that got him in trouble a little bit. But we've seen with Tiger winning and a bunch of guys winning, Phil winning. You know, you don't have to be exactly precise around Augusta National with the driver. You just have to miss it in the right spot when you miss. And so I think as far as guys playing well, he is absolutely one of those that here come 3 weeks from now is going to be in a lot of people's picks to win.
Yeah, he'd be up there. I'm trying to think who else. Now, you kind of hinted in the opener, avoid somebody.
Victor Hovland.
Is it who I think it is? Okay.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
His short game sucks. For a guy that good, he can't pitch it the way that you're going to have to be able to pitch it, in my opinion, to win the Masters. He just can't. And it's something that I know that he's worked on, but it's just not, for as good a player as he is, and he is, as good an iron player right now, ball striker, he's at the top of that list, and he's a good putter. But, man, his pitching, his short game, it's a little bit, you know who he reminds me of?
Hmm. Who's that?
Lee Westwood. Because Lee Westwood was always around the top of those leaderboards in majors, and it always came down to him being able to hit a pitch shot to get up and down a time or two, and he couldn't do it. He has kind of one style, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you see the really good ones, they can go low, they can go high, they can go super-duper high, you know, whatever it needs to be. Those two guys kind of have the same little just pitch it, you know what I mean? And then just one style of shot that gets them – you know, when they do miss in such a spot that it's just hard for them to get up and down. And so, I mean, as good a young player as he is and as good as his game is, that's just not something that I can see him. That's not a place I can see him winning right now. It's because there's just certain places around there that you have to do certain things that he's just doesn't seem capable of doing, especially when the pressure's on. That makes it even worse, you know, to be steady. So, you know, I know a lot of people are going to like him because of the way he's been playing, and he's been playing fantastic. There's no doubt about that. But around that golf course, I just don't see it right now for Victor Hovland. Just he's got to figure out that short game stuff that's prohibiting him from really winning a bunch of golf tournaments.
If you know, and a lot of us are, we like the guy. If you're a Hovland fan, I think what you want to see at Augusta is maybe a top 10, top
well, I mean,
five finish.
Here's
just
the
so
deal.
He knows, I got to work on this if I ever want to take home the green jacket.
I mean, he has the ability to just hit it so good that he can win. Mm-hmm. He really does. I mean, it wouldn't be like a shock, but I certainly won't pick him. You know what I mean? Like, because he's just going to have an otherworldly ball striking week around there. And we've all seen it. You can't consistently just keep on hitting it in the right spot at Augusta. You're going to miss in the wrong spot a time or two or three over four rounds. And then how does that turn out? You know, some guys can get it up and down a couple times. Other guys, you know, try to hit shots and it rolls right back to their feet. I mean, how many times have you seen that on certain holes where it's just like, oh, my gosh. You know, and then, mm-hmm. of course, then there's a couple of other shots each day that – you may not be able to hit right every time that costs you some shot that costs you, you know, the golf tournament. So, I mean, he has the ability to iron, to hit his irons to a level of almost nobody else out there. And if he had a week like that, you could see him winning, but it's just so hard to do. It's so hard to be that good around there for four straight rounds and not have, you know, that hiccup either during one round or, you know, a couple of whole stretch where he kind of loses it, you know. And so that's where, yeah, I mean, and here's the deal. He knows it. He knows that's the problem, right? I mean, he just does. And he's been working and working. It's just it hasn't quite clicked yet. And so that's where, you know, he's got to figure that out if he's going to win a place like now. You get him on at an Open Championship where you don't have those, you know, flop shots or everything's a little bit slower and played a little bit closer to the ground. That's more his style, and you can 100% see him winning one of those. But it's going to be fun because a lot of the good guys are playing well. You know, DJ tied the course record yesterday. That's a good sign for him. with a 63, and nobody even knew it because he was on the other side of the golf course from everybody that was actually in contention. You'd like to see Rory have some more form. I don't know. It's just something kind of weird about him. But Rahm and Scheffler, there's all those guys are playing really, really well. And Augusta National always kind of brings, you know, the cream to the crop anyhow on the leaderboard with the best players. So
absolutely.
It's going to be fun. But Cam Smith will be right up there near the top of the favorites with what he did yesterday. Just an amazing performance. 10 birdies. There was a long time there. He only had one par. He only went one par through 13 holes, and he was like 6 under. It was awesome.
That's crazy.
You've got 2 days. Listen, there is a countdown clock on the ESPN's website. So I'm going to assume that countdown clock is telling you when they're going to lock things in.
Yeah.
And it's 2 days and about an hour and a half, which tells me 11 a.m. on Thursday, first game tips off, normally like 11:15. Right in that area, you're done. So you better be in. Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest on the Bracket Challenge. Come on down. Skinny on Sports 2022 is the group. We have just a link pinned on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. So come play with us. We'll have a prize. We'll have a good prize. Figure that out and then let you know. But we will definitely have a cool prize for the winner of the Bracket Challenge. I've already had some trash talk by the guy that won last year. So.
Who was that?
Rusty.
Already talking trash.
Rusty talking trash.
Well, I mean, hey, you're on top of the world, so.
That's right.
You are the defending champ.
Just for a little longer. Just for a few more days. Then that'll be over. So come on. Come play. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's the beauty of it is you can kind of talk trash to each other as we move along. All right, Jerry, what are your favorite first round matchups?
First rounders, huh? Oh, man, there was one that stood out to me. Oh, it was Ohio State, Loyola, Chicago. Because we know about, well, both teams. Ohio State, they've had success coming in as a 7 seed, so maybe not as successful as a year as they're used to. And then Loyola, Chicago, despite having a new coach, they're still winning. And they're in, and I'm interested to see if they can make another magical run like they have the past couple of years. And so that first-round game could be very telling. It could be a dogfight for both squads. Colorado State-Michigan, that 11-6 matchup. Michigan, a lot of questions, should they even be in it? But I could still see them winning that first-round game against a very good Colorado State team. So there's a couple there. I believe both those are out of the South bracket.
Yep.
You got the ACC champ Virginia Tech taking on Texas. Virginia Tech coming in a little hot. Texas maybe a little underwhelmed a little bit coming in as a 6 seed. There are probably greater aspirations in Austin other than a 6 seed. So that one could be a real fun one. So there's about 3 of them for you. What about you?
I like Murray State versus San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco was fun watching them play Gonzaga, Murray State, the champions of their conference. I like that one. For a couple teams nobody really knows about, that'll be a fun game to watch. You always wonder, you know, there's certain teams that are always in this tournament from the lower, you know, conferences or have a history of being there. I wonder about Vermont. Vermont dominated their tournament like nobody else. I think they won every game by a minimum of 31 in their conference tournament. Can they put a charge into Arkansas? Just kind of a one to watch. Can they do it? And then maybe not the first round, but it's interesting you brought up Colorado State and Michigan. Because I think that the winner of that is going to have a great chance in the next round. Against a team that I'm pretty sure you have in the Final Four, and Tennessee.
Yeah.
A little stat for you, Jared.
I might be reading too much Clay Travis, but go ahead.
Okay, here's this comes courtesy of the Bear, Chris Felica.
Oh, he's dabbling in the basketball now.
Courtesy of the Bear, right here, Rick Barnes of Texas fame. Tennessee fame. Rick Barnes' teams are 1-11-1 against the spread in their last 13 NCAA tournament games.
Wow.
Since Texas made the Elite Eight in 2008, Barnes' teams have made it past the first weekend only once in the last 9 trips, including being knocked out in the second round as a 3 seed in 2018 when the Vols lost to number 11 seed Loyola Chicago.
Wow.
So just a...
I do have...
Just a little tidbit there for Rick Barnes.
I do have a Michigan-Tennessee matchup there. So...
I do not.
Oh, really?
No.
You got Colorado State?
Yes. And then it took everything in my being not to pick Colorado State. The one thing that scares you, though, about picking against Tennessee is how they looked in that SEC tournament. Like, if you pick them as a second-round upset, you might lose a bunch of points because they may end up in the Final Four like what you've got them. But I just, man, that Rick Barnes, it's hard to go against with his futility in the tournament. On the text line, Houston, UAB. And
give me the Fighting Samsons every day in that one. I know those 12-5s, though, are always fun. They're hard to pick.
Do you there's always a 12-5. Do you have one picked?
I'm reviewing. Richmond snuck in. I can't see them beating Iowa. The play-in game between Wyoming. Who's that, Indiana?
I believe that's right, yes.
St. Mary's, I can't see that happening. And the other one is UConn, New Mexico State. Nah, I see all five being okay. Or all five seeds, excuse me, being okay, all four of them.
I've got them all picked, too, and that scares me.
There's always a 12 that seems to do it. That could be – but out of all of them, the Houston UAB, I think, would be the best bet. But you mentioned tournament success. Kelvin Sampson has a lot of it.
Yeah, and he's also got some bowing out as high seed, too.
Sure.
Kind of a mixed bag. It seems like if he can get past the first game, a lot of times he makes it into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight.
With a favorable team.
Yeah. But if not, you know, sometimes he doesn't quite get
there.
But,
man, a potential Houston-Illinois matchup looks a lot of fun.
Here's what's crazy. I've got 11 seed winning 2.
You got an 11 seed winning 2 games?
No, I've got 2 11 seeds winning.
The first round?
Yes.
Who could that be? Are you willing to tell us?
Yeah. Virginia Tech beating Texas.
Okay. Mentioned that earlier.
Scares me a little bit, though, because of how hot they were. Can they continue to stay that hot?
They'd almost prefer to keep playing.
I mean, it was great to beat Coach K and all. I enjoyed it.
We all did.
But then this is just because of what's going on. And it doesn't make any sense because these two teams are going opposite directions. But I've actually got Iowa State beating LSU.
Right, LSU. Yeah, then LSU just lose their coach.
They lost their coach, and there's just turmoil there. So,
that's
I
good.
Don't know.
That's a good pick.
How many Big 12 teams do you think will make it into the Sweet 16?
Counting, I got 2, 3.
I've got 2.
What 2 do you got?
Kansas and Texas Tech.
I got Kansas Tech, and this is probably a false sense of security in Baylor. They haven't been as dominant as
– They've been hurt.
Of course, they bowed out early in the Big 12, but I do have them winning their first 2.
I could change that one, too, and make it 3. But who's your Final Four?
My Final Four is – Texas Tech and UCLA, Tennessee and Auburn.
We've got one of the same teams.
Listen, it just shows us how wide open this thing really is. We've been saying that for weeks now.
I'm scared about my Final Four because listening coming in, two different guys had the exact same Final Four that I have.
Huh.
That always makes me a little squeamish, especially when one of them is Spinozzi. No offense to him, but I'd rather not. I may change my whole bracket after hearing his Final Four because it's the same as mine.
Which is?
Gonzaga, Purdue, Arizona, and Auburn. and I cannot decide which West Coast team I'm going to pick to win it.
But you're going that way.
Gonzaga and Arizona in the final.
You're going to go West.
And I think I'm going to switch it right now. I've switched back and forth about three times.
You got Gonzaga and Arizona in the final.
Yes.
Okay. I got UCLA and Auburn.
So, see, you could go, but you're going to pick Auburn to win it.
I am picking Auburn to win it. I've been on the Tigers for a bit, and I'm not about to give up now. I think they're a good team. I think they're primed for this tournament.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times teams that don't necessarily make the long run through their conference tournament, it gives them a chance to kind of relax, refocus, and really start playing well.
One, it could be a wake-up call, and two, they're like in the locker room saying, the ultimate goal here is to win the whole dang thing. Would have been nice to win this conference tournament, but the ultimate goal is to refocus here and win this whole dang thing. So you're right. You see that a lot. You see teams that bow out. That's why I'm not really completely giving up on Baylor. That's why I got him in the Sweet 16, because for that very reason. They bowed out, and they're like, okay, we're home. We're in Waco. Let's relax. Let's rest up.
Well, I mean, last year they lost early.
Yeah.
To OSU.
Right.
And went and just blazed right through the NCAA tournament.
Great example. I kind of feel like Auburn's that team this year. In UCLA, they were highly ranked. They have been hurt, but they've been highly ranked to start the season. Made that great run last year.
That was a fun game on Saturday. You could see them in Arizona. You could see either one of those two teams being in the Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean, that almost looked like a Final Four type game, the way those two teams went at it. It was a good one.
In fact, that's who I have beating Baylor is UCLA. And I got UCLA and Purdue in the Elite Eight.
I had that exact same game.
Yeah. What, UCLA, Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you went Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This would be fun. I can't wait to blow up your phone when I'm right.
Yeah, too bad you got Tennessee in the Final Four, and they might even lose to Longwood, whoever the hell that is. Rick Barnes. I can't believe you put so much faith in Rick Barnes, Jared. You know better than this. You've seen him. You see him not be able to win a tournament game or get
out of it. What got him fired
Kevin
in Texas.
Durant.
Yeah, it's what got him fired in Texas.
He had Kevin
ultimately.
Durant. He couldn't figure out a way to win in the tournament.
I've had great success. This is my tournament philosophy, picking the tournament. I've had great success just as soon as you get the bracket, just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
What's your gut feeling?
Not thinking too much
about
it.
Exactly. Kind of like the golf course. Quit thinking about it. Just do it.
Here's the question. Do we like Iowa? Do you like Iowa?
I do like them. I got them in the Elite Eight. I think they're a really good team.
So you got them beating KU.
I'm sorry. I got them in the Sweet 16. I don't have them getting past Kansas. I'm sorry. No, I don't. I got Kansas and Auburn in the Elite Eight. But I do see Iowa. Yeah, they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough team. Who's that kid? Who's that guy?
It's Keegan something.
Yeah.
Murray? Is it Keegan Murray?
He's like 28 years old.
Is that his name? I was just trying to think. I was literally trying to think of it, and now I'm pulling it up. Keegan Murray.
Yeah, they're a good team. But listen, it's always it feels like if it's an Iowa Kansas game, it's hard to go against Kansas. They've been there so much. Bill Self has been there so much. Even though you hate to see them win.
Yeah, I don't know. Kansas. If it does happen to be Kansas and Iowa, you know what we're going to call that game? The Nick Collison game.
Yeah.
And Kirk Heinrich game.
I mean, there are going to be teams that we do not like that are going to, even though we desperately want them to lose.
Okay, yeah, I know mine.
You know what I mean?
I know mine for sure, and it's always mine, but even more this year because of what's happening and the circumstances surrounding this team. But would there be any more awesome thing? I wouldn't even care what happened for the rest of the tournament if number 15 seeded Cal State Fullerton could stop the Coach K love right off the bat.
It'd be great.
Just boom, done. See you, K.
It'd be great. Because the deeper Duke gets in this tournament,
the more insufferable it's going to be.
That, and if let's say it's tied up 62 to 62, Duke has the ball, and oh, there's all of a sudden a questionable shooting foul that puts them on the line with 4 seconds left. You know what I mean? It always feels like it leans that way for teams like Duke, teams like Kentucky, teams like Kansas, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Coach K, Calipari, they always seem to get those calls late in the year.
You know who I like?
Especially late in this tournament.
You know who I really like? I like Tom Izzo. And you know who I'm going to – you know my how much my like is going to go higher? I just changed it.
If that's a second-round game.
This is picking – this is more picking with my heart than my head here.
You're picking Michigan State to
Yeah,
beat
I might
Duke.
As well. Yep, end it. End it, Izzo. You're the man.
I got the Red Raiders taking the Dukies down in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I wonder about them. I've got them going a long way, too, and I don't feel very good about it.
Tech?
Mm-hmm.
I do, too.
Talking about the NCAA tournament. Looking forward a little bit now. Games that you want to see before the Final Four. So somewhere in the regional brackets, what games are you looking forward to seeing? If you've got it picked in your bracket, you know, a game that you want to see, what would it be?
For me, it's Arizona and Houston. Possibility of that one sounds fun to me. Got an experienced coach going up against Arizona, who has all that tradition with them, and seems to be the hot team right now. That's one of mine, Arizona-Houston in the South. How about you?
I think the Zags in Arkansas could be fun.
Yeah, I got that one too.
I think that could be fun. Dakota hit another one I had, Kansas and Auburn. I think that could be a lot of fun in a regional final, if that's what transpires.
I have that one too.
And then, honestly –
about UCLA Purdue.
Yeah, any of those in that. I mean, UCLA Kentucky.
Yeah.
Would be Baylor Kentucky. Purdue Kentucky. I mean, I think to me the East is the bracket that's the hardest. And maybe I put more stock in Baylor than even though I had them getting beat in the second round. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with that. But, you know, St. Mary's has beaten Gonzaga. UCLA was in the Final Four last year. You're talking about the ACC tournament champ with Virginia Tech. Purdue is a team that a lot of people like. Kentucky. You know, I think there's a lot of strength to me in that East bracket.
The West seems very stout. Of course, there's Gonzaga. You got Texas Tech. You got Duke. You got Michigan State. Alabama, I don't think, is a team you want to sleep on. Arkansas is a good team. We just mentioned them. You got the tradition of UConn in that region. A lot of people like Boise State. Don't forget about Memphis. There's a lot of good teams there. I mean, that play-in game between Rutgers and Notre Dame could be fun. Yeah, if that's the conversation we're going with, what's the toughest region? Your vote's the.
I think the top four in the East are the best. With Baylor, Kentucky, Purdue, and UCLA.
Yeah. I think as a whole, though, the West, I mean, the committee, I don't think, did Gonzaga any favors.
Yeah, see, I think they got as good a bracket as they could have.
Do you?
Matchup-wise. I don't see anybody that can just beat them up, unless, you know, a Michigan State or a Tech down the line. But even Tech, listen, here's the sneaky part about the Zags. They play better defense than you do. Whoever you are, they're one of the best defensive teams in the nation. And so, this team is different than last year, but maybe it's more equipped to win one of those real physical, slog it out type games, you know, with a defensive presence inside of Holmgren that they really didn't have last year.
Right.
You know, guys could take care of, people could take advantage of Timmy. Can't really do that this time with Holmgren back there ready to block people's shots. But – yeah, I think it's those two. The others, I don't know. I mean, I think those two. And then, you know, I think Kansas and Auburn at the end would be fun. But, you know, how good is – heck, I have a 13 winning in that bracket, so who knows? It's going to be just guess sometimes about teams that you don't know about.
No, yeah.
Anyhow. Okay, that's the tournament. Come get signed up. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. ESPN's website, we've got that link on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. It'll just take you right to it. and you can come play along with us. See who can whose bracket gets busted right off the bat. I'm going to have to rethink these decisions I've made on the fly. Afraid I got too much emotion in it with some of the stuff I've done this morning to rearrange my bracket. I may need to go back. I don't know if, I mean, I may be putting too much faith in the Paizan, Mr. Izzo, and rethink that and have Duke moving on like they probably will. But it all gets started, what, tonight?
Plans tonight.
Is it the good ones or the bad ones? It's one of each. So they're doing 16 and a 12 tonight. So you've got A&M Corpus Christi against Texas Southern, and then you've got Indiana and Wyoming. You know what? I got a problem with this. I got a problem with play-ins, and here's why.
They're always in Dayton? What?
No.
Why?
The 16s shouldn't have a play-in. They won their conference. They're not the ones that should have to play into this thing. It ought to be Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, why can't it be the seeded team? Like, why, you know, the certain, how come it can't be, you know, based on the committee?
Make it all 12s.
Yeah, or what if the committee says, you know what, these were our last four in, let's have them play in the play-in game.
I'd rather it be the last eight in. And let these teams that actually won their conference get in the tournament.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the 12 seeds are up for grabs. And, you know, have those four as playing in games, not these. First off, let's be honest, nobody really want to watch it anyway. But they win their conference tournament, and they don't get rewarded with a spot in the tournament. These other teams aren't like that. The OUs and the Indianas and the Wyomings and the Michigans and the A&Ms, they didn't do anything to deserve a spot in the tournament. These others did by doing what you're supposed to do, and that is win your conference tournament. They shouldn't have to play in.
Right.
Little guys shouldn't have to play in. It ought to be just the big guys that had a mediocre season. Probably don't belong in the damn thing anyway.
Agreed.
That's my change. Let's make a change. All right.
I agree.
What else you got today, Jared? We got about 2 minutes.
Well, I've been fully engulfed in trying to pick this bracket and just trying to convince myself not to change it based on my own rules. So I need to quit talking to you because you keep trying to change my mind. Stop doing that if you want a chance, right? No, it should be fun. It's really fun to, you know, not have a dog in the fight. I've always said that. That's why it's great to be a OU basketball fan and a Dallas Cowboy fan in postseason, because here lately you don't have a lot of invested interest, but should be fun. I mean, I'm waiting for you to jump into our t-shirt bracket.
Oh yeah, I know. I gotta do that.
I'll send you the invite.
You've already done that.
Okay.
I just forgot to do it.
It's fun. Get a chance to win a bunch of cool t-shirts.
Oh, Dakota's got faith in us all. It's one of the years we get every game right and become a millionaire.
Well, then it'll be the end of the skinny on sports.
No.
It would be the only thing we do.
For a year.
Oh, boy. There's a lot of and how many different brackets do you submit?
One.
I mean, like, how many? Do you just do ESPN and that's it?
Or
do
one.
You, do you go to CBS? Do
one
you
bracket.
Go to the Sports Animal?
One bracket. It's the only bracket I ever fill out.
Give
is one.
The Sports Animal some love.
Just one bracket.
All right.
Now, here's the deal, though. If I ever do more than one, I'd make it the exact same.
Exactly. Me too.
Okay.
Because it's just easier to follow that way. It's easier to track.
Oh, yeah. Who do I have in this bracket? I just drive you nuts.
One universal bracket, and that's what I stick with.
So you submit at different places with the same bracket.
Exactly. Yeah. The Sports Animal. Go to sportsanimal.com. It's free to enter.
Free to enter here, too.
Yep.
Western Oklahoma Realty. Skinny on Sports.
Yeah.
Bracket Challenge.
Search Skinny on Sports 2022.
Facebook page. We got a pinned post that'll shoot you right to it. You got two more days to get involved. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.